appropriate tattoos. I'm just joking. Where we serve the kids and we have the kids come and do things and then we serve them grilled food, right? And so if you have ever once heard about Dining with Dig, then you're like, I feel like I would like to kind of try that, but I don't really want to commit to something huge. This is the one to come to because there's multiple stations. There's multiple things for you to do. Right? We have a sign-up sheet out there in the Hallelujah Hallway. It's slowly but surely, the slots are being filled in, but slots still remain. So we would love you to, painting nails was another one too. Right? Though there's definitely spots for you to come and serve and to do things. All right? So please pray and think about that. We also have for our golfers out there, the Dallasburg Open is the Sunday right after that. That's the 26th. Let's see here. Do we have it in there? Yes. Oh, it's good. So if you're a golfer, 1:30 is what you're looking for. If you're like me and you don't want to waste everyone's time and you're not a golfer, show up at 2 and we'll just hang out and do cool things together, right? But if you're a golfer, be there at 1:30, right? The fall WMU meeting is coming up October 2nd. Take a look at that. You know, one of the things I said this somewhere, but when I went to the associational meeting for all of the Southern Baptist churches and Owen County, they produced this really nice bulletin. I call it a bulletin. I guess it's a booklet. And you flip through it, and it talks about all the activities that all the churches have done in the county and things that are going on. And then when you got to the WMU, right, so this is the in the midst of COVID, wide open. When you get to the WMU, it was like there was one page. You flip the page, there's another full page. You flip the page, another full page, right? So pray for the WMU ladies. They are hard workers, and they are serving the people. And so that opportunity comes up. If you're not involved, you have to be a lady, right, Rita? No men. If you are a lady and you would like to be involved in WMU, they are a very worthwhile organization to partner alongside of. They do a lot of great things for the county, for the state, and for the nation. Very, very active, right? And then we also have the block party. This is for the Eagle Creek Resort right down the road from us. That's happening October 10th from 3 to 6. We're going to go down there and try to meet the needs of those people. We're going to serve them. One of the things that we're going to do is that we're also going to provide clothing. So if you have any clothing in your house or you want to go buy some clothes, that's fine too. Bring those, set them to the room beside the kitchen in the fellowship hall out there. We're going to put those in Ziploc bags and have those ready as outfits to hand to kids. If you happen to be here during vacation Bible school, several of those kids showed up with clothes that definitely needed to be replaced. A lot of them didn't have shoes. A lot of them had two boys showed up with two left shoes. They didn't have the both matching sets. And so this is a good opportunity to serve and meet some needs, right? Also, come and hang out. We're going to do some cool things down there, too. It's going to be inflatables. We're Southern Baptists, so guess what? There's always going to be food, right? So we're going to have food. So come and join us for that opportunity as well. And then right before we get to the video, we'll talk about Eliza Brought Us. I just wanted to update you all. You know, this is always a difficult time for a church to lose a brother, someone who is a member of our church and someone's a friend. But last week, unfortunately, we lost our brother, Mike McCormick. He went to be with the Lord in a very sudden fashion. And so this is the information. The service will be held here Thursday, right? 3 to 5 is going to be the visitation. 5 to 6 will be the service, and then the church, we're going to provide a meal for the McCormick family from 6 to 7. So if you would like to provide something for that meal, contact, I think Melissa is trying to head that up, so contact Melissa if you have desire to serve that. But most importantly, be in prayer for the McCormicks. Just super sudden, super tragic. It's just a difficult time, right? And you can cover them with your prayers, would be greatly appreciated. And then last, but for sure not least, we have Eliza Brought Us out here with us today. We are in the season for Eliza Brought Us. We have special envelopes in our plates to give to that. And then to kind of get us focused on that, we're going to watch a video that gives us some more information about the Eliza Brought Us.
Services
Excellent. Thank you, Steve, for finding that video for us. You know, one of the things that I wanted to just mention before I pray, and then and Kirk and Crystal and Cookie will get us ready for worship, is that in today's time, there are a plethora of ways you can spend your money, right? You can give your money to this, you can give your money to that, give your money to this. The Eliza Broaddus Mission is a mission opportunity that has been vetted, that is, your money stays right here in Kentucky, and it serves people in a godly Christian way. And so that's very important to know how you're using your money. And so what I would encourage you to do is to pray about that. Think about how God wants you to partner alongside this opportunity and see what he has for you, right? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I'm so thankful for when I open up this bulletin and I see a page full of opportunities for us to serve your people, but most importantly, serve you. We thank you for that. We ask that you give us the right attitudes of grace and forgiveness and love, Lord, as we minister to these people, as we share with them. Lord, we also ask you to continue to impress upon us to be good stewards of the financial situations that you have given to us. We thank you for the godly opportunities that are presented for us to partner alongside ministry opportunities that are reaching lost people, reaching them with the gospel, helping them, lift them up to restore them back to a relationship not only with you, but a relationship with their family and with their world to where they can have dignity and respect. We thank you for that. Lord, as we gather here right now to lift up songs of praise to you, we pray that we're able to set aside the distractions and the heartaches of the week and truly focus on you, your holiness, and your righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning. I'm having some paper challenges here, and I also lost my pick, but Michael took my pick. I didn't lose it. That's what he's telling me. Let's sing some songs. You want to sing some songs? Let's do that. I want to sing some songs. My heart is a little heavy this morning. Is anybody else there? We got a lot of good reasons to sing then and to worship. Our community has taken a few hits this week. So we're just gonna turn that over to Jesus, okay?
All throughout my history, faithfulness has walked beside me. Winter storms made way for spring, in every season from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Help me remember when I'm weak. Fear may come, but fear will leave. You laid my heart to victory. You are my strength, and you always will be. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. See the cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sin rolled away because of you, oh Jesus. See the cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sin rolled away because of you, oh Jesus, yeah. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Sing that again. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Why should I fear the evidence is here? Why should I fear? The evidence is here.
Good job, guys. That's a little bit of a newer one for us. And this might not be a good idea, but to back that up, we're going to do a brand new one. But the kids know it, and they know it well. They've been belting it out from the basement. I've had the pleasure several times of walking through the foyer and listening to them and thinking, all right, it's about time for the grown-ups to learn that one too. Are we in A on this one? All right, good. Man, this song, guys, this song. I'm not going to talk about it, but I might, if kids sing loud, because there's a couple of parts of this song that I just are really special to me right now for some reason. I hope it will be for you too.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing. Are you desperate for some healing? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. The good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Who can wipe away the tears? Broken dreams and wasted years, and tell the past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus. Know the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen, amen. Who would take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty? Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty. Amen. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Change your life. Amen. That's a good one, right?
Yeah. Oh, there's a scripture.
There's a scripture. Man, I told myself I wasn't going to do that this Sunday, and there I went again. This might be the most important thing I say, so let's pay attention to it. Psalm 66, 8 through 9 says, "Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip?" On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So till my trophies at last I lay down, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stand with a blood. Such a wonderful beauty I see. For it was on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. The sure and steady anchor in the fury of the storm, when the winds of doubt blow through me and my sails have all been torn, in the suffering, in the sorrow, my clinging hopes be few. I will hold fast to the anchor, it shall never be removed. Christ the sure and steady anchor, while the tempest rages on, when temptations claim the battle and it seems the night has won, deeper still then goes the anchor, though I justly stand accused, I will hold fast to the anchor, it shall never be removed. Christ the sure and steady anchor, through the floods of unbelief, hopeless somehow, oh my soul, now lift your eyes to Calvary. This my ballast of assurance, and is the forever proof, I will hold fast to the anchor, it shall never be removed. Christ the sure and steady anchor, as we face the wave of death, when these trials give way to glory, as we draw our final breath, we will cross that great horizon, clouds behind and life secure, and the calm will be the better for the storms that we endure. Christ the shore of our salvation, ever faithful, ever true, we will hold fast to the anchor, it shall never be removed.
Father, thank you for that promise. Thank you for the anchor. Thank you that no matter what storms come to our lives, no matter how we feel, that you are unchanging, that your love is big enough for us, for all of it. And God, we take some comfort in that, and we give you glory for that. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
What side of the paper is it on?
6613.
Right there. Okay. Psalm 66:13. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord, thankful for this time that we can come together as your local church, Lord. I just lift up each and every person in here, Lord. Just like what was said earlier, with heavy hearts, we're here, Lord. We're asking you to give us comfort, to give us strength, to give us courage, boldness, whatever we may be facing, whatever feeling we may be facing with some of the news that we've heard this week, Lord, I just pray that we put our full trust and hope in you, Lord, and that our peace comes through you, Lord. And your peace is the only thing that will get us through, and your strength is the only thing that will get us through, Lord. I lift up this offering that we're about to receive. I pray that we use it to the ongoing work of your kingdom, Lord. Be with Michael as he brings today's message. And may you just speak through him to us, and may our ears, our hearts, and our minds be open to what you would have us to learn. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
All right, our children will be dismissed. I think that's the first time I've ever had to tell them to be dismissed. So the music just drew them in this morning. The music was there. I'm super thankful for our musicians this morning and preparing our hearts for worship. We're praying for you, Bobby. There you go. Very good. That's a great example, right? Men can do that too, guys. You see that? Men can go and lead that too. So it's a great example right there. One of the things that I wanted to comment on a little bit is I always talk a lot about one of the great advantages, and there's many advantages to being married, is you get a built-in accountability partner. Now, one of the things that's also a great advantage to being in a church family is that you have a lot of accountability partners. So you guys probably didn't see it down here, but I saw the look that Crystal gave Kirk. Was like, hey, you forgot something. Go back and read that, right? And so just jokingly, I am very thankful for all of the Crystals that we have in this church, right? I'm very thankful for all of the Steves that we have in this church that help keep us all on track and focused on the right thing. So I'm very thankful for those individuals. That kind of segues perfectly into what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about memorials and remembering things. I was reading some information, and a pastor had referred to the story, is that as he became older, it became more and more difficult for him to remember his sermons and remember what he wanted to preach. And he said he knew he was getting old is because he could no longer remember anyone's name, he could no longer remember anyone's face, and he definitely couldn't remember the third thing that he was supposed to try to remember, right? So he realized that he was beginning to have difficulties in remembering things. And so what I went and did is I went and looked and did some research today to kind of give you some framework, some reference here of some things that you're probably not alone if you struggle in these things, right? So 83% of us have difficulty remembering people's names. Right? 83%, right? And so that's one of the things that I had told you last week, and I'll continue to tell you this for quite a while, as we've called a new youth pastor in Raphael and Ruby. You saw their picture earlier. Be patient with them. You have to remember two names, Raphael and Ruby. They're pretty close to one another. It's not that difficult. They have to remember all of your all's names, right? And they have to try to get that right. So be patient with them in that, right? Now, I can't believe this one was only 60%. This was 99.9% me trying to remember where something is. Now, I would be ashamed to really track it and share with you all how much percentage of my time is spent every week. Where did I put that? I know I had that, right? I know it was there. I've shared with you all before, I like to hide things from the other people in my family so they don't mess with them, and then I forget where I hid them, right? And so not only can they not help me find them, now I've hid them from myself, and I'm a really good hider. Like, I hide things really good. I like to hide things where they're too tall. I'm the tallest person in my house where no one else can reach. But the problem is I can't see up there either. I can just barely reach it, so that's a difficult one for me. 57%, this is kind of an old survey here, 57% is phone numbers. I'm not sure with the need of the invention of smartphones, we need to remember phone numbers that much anymore. I was joking with someone recently. I remember my home phone number that I had when I was a kid. Right? I still remember that number. Do I remember any of your other numbers? Absolutely not. Melissa's is the only other phone number that I remember besides my home phone number. Right? The one, and this is one that you've probably experienced before. I experience this a lot of times, and as a speaker, sometimes it's embarrassing, is that you have that feeling where the word is on the tip of your tongue. Right? So 53% of us struggle with knowing the word we want to say, we just can't get it out. Like my grandmother used to say, well, stick your tongue out and I'll see it. Right, and as a kid, it took me a long time to grab. It was like, oh, that's what she means. Is quit saying it's on the tip of my tongue because it makes me sound stupid. Right, I get what she said. And so, and then the last one that I looked up was 42% of us have a difficulty remember faces. Now, one of the things, as I get older and get a little longer in a tooth, I'm starting to realize so many of you look the same. Right, I'd be like, well, that looks a lot familiar to me, right? And so I'm kind of the opposite of that. I'm like, more of you are starting to look the same to me than different. But long story short, you probably didn't need any of those stats or that analogy that I shared with you to remind you, you have difficulty remembering, right? You unfortunately struggle with this, but the great thing that in God's omniscience, in his, of knowing everything, is he knew that. And in knowing we have difficulty with our memory, he has given us ways to help with that. And so that's where we find ourselves today in Joshua chapter 4. Don't worry, if you flipped your Bible open, I'm not reading 1 through 24. I'm only going to read 1 through 9 for you, so you don't have to listen to me read the whole time. But I would encourage you, read that, because that fullness of that context will help you. But the context of what has happened in Joshua 4 here today is they've crossed the river. Right? They've crossed the Jordan River. They had the Ark of the Covenant walk out into the river, you remember. And because of the power of God, the wall went up in a huge heap. Right? It was almost like the parting of the Red Sea again. And all of the Israelites were able to pass through the river. And where we find ourselves today is everyone's across the river. God gives a command to Joshua, who then gives it to the 12 to the 12 individuals that were selected from each tribe. He sends them back into the river to pick up 12 stones to set up a memorial so they'll remember. Right? Let's take a look at God's word. This is Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe, a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.'" Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall be the people of Israel a memorial forever." And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes, the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the men and women, our musicians who prepared our hearts for worship, an amazing job that they did. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for your word. As we learned in Sunday school this morning, how we can have faith in it as the only source of truth in our lives. Lord, we thank you for what we'll be discussing today. We thank you for the memorials that we have in our lives that remind us of your patience, of your love, of your grace, and that you will never leave us. Lord, we just pray that we're able to recall those memorials as we go out into our life and to share you with the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so we're setting the scene, right? We've made it across the Jordan. We're on the other side. God then gives Joshua command. Joshua then passes that on. We're not going to spend hardly any time right now discussing this, but if you ever want to do a study in Joshua, this is a super pivotal moment, right? Remember, one of the big issues that Joshua was being faced with, I said I wasn't going to talk much about this, Don. One of the big issues that Joshua is being faced with is that he's now in charge after Moses. Moses is a literal and figurative hero of Scripture, right? So you can only imagine the pressure on Joshua to try to fill the footsteps of Moses. But if you ever come across a study that's discussing that, I've seen those studies, this is the point. This is the point that things shift for Joshua. This is where the nation of Israel begins seeing him as their true physical and spiritual leader. Like I said, we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about that today because we've decided to focus on something different. But this is the point this happens for Joshua. And so this happens. He sends the men back in to get some stones. And so first of all, if you're thinking these are just little pebbles, not true. Because what does Scripture says? He says the men have to put them on their shoulder. So these are big rocks. These are big stones that they're now having to bring back up to set a memorial up. And then Scripture is super clear to us, right? Scripture shares with us why God has called them to do that. He's called them to do that so they can be memorials for them. And what we're going to look at today is how these memorials are for us right now and how we're living. They're reminders for memorials for future generations, and then we'll look a little bit at Joshua's obedience at the end, right? And so, first of all, why is this important for us? Reminders for us. Like we've already looked at those stats, and I saw some of you nodding your head, so I think some of you fall into those stats along with me. I'm not the only person in here who can't remember names that great. Is God knows we have a problem with our memories. Our memories are not good. The problem is that so many of us, there's so many things that being input into your brain. I tell people all the time, I only have so much space in there, right? And at times, I got to purge information. I wish it was as easy with my computer. I just simply did a few keystrokes, I got rid of that, and I freed up some more space. That's not how it works, right? Like I said, I can still remember my phone number from when I was a kid, but I can't remember someone's important information that they just told me an hour ago. Right? I wish it worked more like my computer, but that's not how our brains work. And God knows that. And so God has commanded the Israelites here and also has given us this, is for us to set up reminders in our lives. Right? Now, God, more than likely, I'm very confident in this, is that none of you have heard the word of the Lord and asked you to set up stones in your yard or on your farm as a memorial to him. I'm very confident you haven't received that, right? But what God has called you to is to remember what God has done for you. And so what I would encourage you to do throughout today's message, as we're discussing and thinking about this, try to go a little bit past thinking of these memorials as stones. The whole study, I'm thinking of Stonehenge the whole time I'm doing this. That's just what I'm picturing in my head. To get past picturing stones, but to understand God wants you to plant these memorials in your heart as well. To remember how God has been faithful to you. To remember how God has been true to you. Like Kirk sang for us this morning, when we're in the storm, right? Not only do we have to be thankful for that storm, but to set that memorial in our hearts that after the storm, we remember that. Why is that important? Why is that important? Well, it's important for this very simple reason. You're not just going to have one storm in your life. I think everyone here does have that testimony in their own lives. There wasn't just one storm in one season of your life. You made it through it. God is great. It's Skittles and rainbows from here on out. That's not your testimony, right? That's not what Scripture tells you is going to be your testimony. It wasn't Christ's testimony, and it's not yours. What you are going to constantly be encouraging in life are storms, also known as trials, right? Also known as valleys. However you want to insert that, Scripture calls them many different things. You are going to encourage them. So just like the Israelites need this physical reminder for their people, right? So little side note here, we'll hit a pause button just for a second. If you remember, the Israelites were not the nicest people to hang out with, right? If you can remember, what did Moses have to deal with? Constantly groaning. I was expecting someone to answer that. I don't know why. Constantly groaning, constantly being upset, constantly complaining, right? Well, I know I'm getting this manna, but I want something different, right? And Moses is like, you are literally having food fall from the sky. What else do you want? They're like, well, I want something. I want something different. So they were a people that had short memories that were not always focused on God. Who does that sound like, Ben? It sounds like us. Right? One of the things that I tell the people, I am by no means, by any stretch of the imagination, an Old Testament scholar. Now, you would never brand me as that, but I am very clear that I understand this. The way they acted is the same way I act. Right? They are just like you and I. They have short memories. They get focused on idolatry at times. Right? They turn their back on God when things are going good. That sounds much like my testimony. And I'm very confident it sounds much like your testimony. And so as God has called them to set up a physical memorial, God has called you and I to set up memorials in our hearts so that when we face that next trial, that next storm, that next valley in our life, we can recall upon that time that I was having difficulty and God saw me through it, right? It's an amazing, very important thing. We see this happening throughout the New Testament as well. We'll take a look right now at Acts chapter 4, verses 19 through 20. And the context of this is we find Peter and John are going before the council, the Sadducees, and they're answering questions. This is when the Sadducees are really upset about what Christ is doing because he's disrupting the power structure, and they don't have to go to them anymore. They can simply go to Christ. This is what they say. But Peter and John answered them being the council, whatever it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard, right? And so we see this in both Peter and John. They're not setting up a physical memorial, but they already have set that memorial in their hearts. They've seen the miracles Jesus has done, right? They've sat at the foot of the master. Like, they went to the best seminary that's ever existed, right? It was a short term, about 3 years, but they went to the best seminary that's ever existed, and they've seen all the wonderful things that Christ has done. This leads us to this common question. I've had people say this to me, and I pray out of ignorance, not out of meanness. They're like, well, it's easy for them because they saw it. It's easy for them. But guess what? You've seen it too. You know, have you seen it? You've seen it through reading God's word. Right? Blessed are those who hear and have faith versus those who see and have faith, right? We have been called. Everything. If you were able to be with your Sunday school class this morning, that is an amazing thing. If you're not, I'm going to give you a real quick synopsis of what that was about. It's basically this. This is the truth, right? This is the truth. God's word is the truth. The truth is only found in Christ. This is where it comes from. So even though you may not have seen the miracles that are spoken of in Scripture, you have read of them, and you know they are true. And so you use those as memorials, right? One of the ones that helps me so much is that I'm always amazed, right? I'm a big fan of the Apostle Paul, and I like reading. I mean, if you read Scripture, you read a lot of Paul stuff, right? I enjoy reading his epistles and everything. One of the things that helps me so much is, you remember the memorial that I've set up for Paul in my heart is when he prayed to God for he had a thorn. He's like, Lord, please remove this from me. And there's lots of debate what that thorn was. Most scholars believe it was some type of sickness that was difficult for Paul. And then Paul then returns and he receives, you know, the message from the Holy Spirit is that, no, Christ is sufficient. Therefore, that thorn in your side, you should be thankful for that, because it's to humble you and to teach you that you can't do this on your own, that you need God. I think of that scripture quite often when things are going bad. One of the things that I say all the time is like, I just wish things would work. Like, why don't things just work? When I turn the key, why doesn't it just work? And then a lot of times, it just doesn't, right? And that is so minor compared to the thorn that Paul had, but that memorial of that scripture that I know and that I've placed in my heart reminds me is that, you know what? Whether this thing works or not, Christ is still sufficient for me. Right? My joy is not found. I know it's easier for me to say JT. My joy is not found when I turn the key and it doesn't work. My joy is found in whom? My joy is found in Christ, just like Paul. And so I've set that memorial in my heart. I use it quite often. I go to it all the time. Let's take a look here. There's some other scripture. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our God, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. So what we are called to do, right, in the Great Commission that we find in Matthew 28, what we're called to do is to not be ashamed of these memorials, to be proud of these memorials, right, to share with one another, this is what God has done for me in my life. This is why testimonies are so powerful. Right? You get up here and you hear me and you know, we look at Scripture and we do the best we can to get an understanding of it. But testimonies and testimonials are so, so powerful, because it's real stuff it's like what I call rubber meeting the road kind of ministry, right? And that's what, you know, we're reading here in Scripture, is that's why testimonies are so powerful. Testimony could also be seen as a memorial in your life. So as you have these great things that Christ is doing in your life, be proud of them. Share them with people. One of the things that we discuss on Wednesday night, we dedicate a whole hour to praying for you all and to praying for your family. It's a great time. I enjoy it. I look forward to it all week. We also set some time aside at the very end to lift up praises, to focus on, to think about some of these wonderful memorials that we see. And this is something that you probably don't need me to tell you this, but I'm just going to remind you of this. I'm going to serve as a memorial for you right now, is that you have so many praises in your life, you don't have the time in the day to go through all of them. You just don't have the time in the day. And so I encourage you in this church is to think about that. Think about the memorials. It's easy to think of the big ones, right? These big giant stones that these guys had to put on their shoulders, right? Those are big memorials. You also have smaller ones in your life as well, right? You have little things every day that honestly really aren't that little, but you view them as little. Here's one. The fact that you woke up this morning and drew a breath, that's a memorial to God and his grace. Because what's the reality? What do you deserve right now? Not to be drawing a breath. Not to be drawing a breath, right? And so just be thinking about that and dwell upon all of the memorials that God is doing for you. And also, do not be ashamed of those. Be very happy and look for opportunities, right? I've had to change my verbiage. I used to call these foot in the door moments. That sounded a little aggressive, Renee, right? So I've changed that to windows of opportunity. I stole that from the Sunday school material. I did not come up with that. Windows of opportunity. I encourage you, church, look for those every day. I promise you, as sure as I'm standing here right now, those present themselves. And you can either choose one of two things. Either one, you can take that opportunity to maybe speak some truth in someone's life, to be kind with them, look for an opportunity to talk about Christ, or you can just walk away from it. God gives you those two opportunities. He gives you that free will. It is very clear throughout Scripture, specifically today as we look at Joshua 4, Joshua was given the commandment to share those memorials with people, to share what God has done with them. You and I, that's our testimonies. That's the blessings that we're receiving, to share those with people. We move on. Now, this is probably, and this is debatable, but when Joshua receives this command from God, the second point here is probably the main point. Some would disagree with that. That's my opinion. I could be wrong in that. I'll answer for that someday in front of God. I think the main reason he wanted them to set up those memorials was for future generations. Right? Because, yes, those people are short memory. Like, they're not going to remember. We've already seen the Israelites are not heroes of being focused on God. However, it's the next generation we have to worry about. Now, one of the things that I wanted to share with you, and this petrifies me, and it concerns me. I pray about it quite often. The church is one generation away from not existing. One generation. You hear that. Some of you are nodding your head. Some of you are like, oh, Michael doesn't know math. Let me tell you something. Think about this. You insert whatever age you are. Insert into that. How has the gospel moved? Right? Or is the gospel more prevalent now that you're whatever age you are? Insert your own age. Or was it more prevalent when you were younger? Right? I shared this morning in our Sunday school class, I'm 48 years old. I know, I look really good. I'm just joking, I know I look good for 48, right? The gray kind of gives it away, right? If 48-year-old Michael, or no, if 28-year-old Michael, 20 years ago, could come back and talk to 48-year-old Michael and tell me some of the things that are happening in our culture and our society today, I wouldn't believe it. I'd be like, no way. Like, that dude's crazy. If I looked at myself, I'd be like, yeah, he's for sure crazy, right? There's no way I would be able to grasp what's occurred in just 20 short years. And so when I read that and I share that with you, let that impact you a little bit. It's important for us to speak truth to our children, right? It's important for us to share this with the young people in our church, with the young people in our family, because I firmly believe that with all my heart, we're one generation away from the church no longer existing. And we don't want that. We're not praying for that. But we also can't be lapsed at it, right? We have to stop abdicating this responsibility. One of the things that I wanted to share, I am overjoyed that we've called Raphael. There's so many great messages about that. There's so many great stories that will come out of that. But this is the key, right? We can't outsource that responsibility to someone else. We can't hire someone to be a youth pastor. When we have great youth leaders for so many years, we can't outsource that. Where does this have to begin? It has to begin in your home. If your children, if the young people in your life, they don't have to be your biological children. If these young people are in your life, if they are not hearing the gospel, if they're not seeing memorials that you've set up, there is no hope for them in the world that we currently live in for them to come to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. It won't happen, right? The hour they have here this morning with the youth leader, the hour they have on Wednesday, the hour they will soon, hopefully again when we get back to going again on Sunday night, 3 hours is not enough to counter all of the world, right? Scripture tells us we live in the world, but we're not of the world. We are temporary visitors here, but the power of the world is so impressive and impressing on us at all times, we have to constantly be on guard for that. And that is exactly why I believe the main focus of setting up these memorials was not just for the original people, but was for the children. For them to remember, on this day, a miracle occurred in front of us to where the Ark of the Covenant went into the Jordan River. If you remember, don't think of just the Kentucky River, when it's flooding, right? This river was raging. Like, this is when the mountain is melting, all the waters rush down. No one would have wanted to get close to the Jordan River at this time. But what did the priests do? They walked into the Jordan River, and the wall of water stood up. A miracle happened. And the kids of that generation need to be reminded of that. And that's why that memorial. Our kids in our church, our young people, they need to constantly be reminded of what God is doing in our lives and doing in their lives, because if not, there is no hope for them. It is our responsibility to help them with that. We cannot take this serious enough. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 12 through 13 discusses this a little bit. Then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you, for the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. You're like, whew, that's, we need some New Testament. No, this is how serious God is about this, right? Right. This is, I love discussing the characteristics of God. Right. One of the ones that people really struggle with is this scripture. God is jealous? Like, what's that mean? How can God be jealous? Well, the reason you read that sometimes and you're like, I don't get that, is that God is righteously jealous. When you're jealous, it's come from a sinful position, right? Because you want to set yourself elevate. You want to treat yourself as you're more important, and so you want to gather more. When God is righteously jealous for you, he's talking about, guess what, my favorite subject, idolatry. He's saying, I will accept no other position in your life than the first. He is righteously jealous for that first position. And if you don't think you have a problem with idolatry, we should talk some more than just this message. Right? If you don't think this is always going to be a problem for the for your children or for the youth in our church, we should talk more. It is always going to be a problem, right? Just like it was for the Israelites, it is for you. I love the way C.S. Lewis says it. If there's anything your heart is good at, it's like an idol factory that just pumps out idols time after time after time after time again, right? And what God says is like, if you're sitting here right now, and I ask you the question, no way, I would never forget God. If you think really hard about your testimony, I'm pretty confident really easily you can think of a time you were living a life as if you were forgetting. I did. I have it in my life, right? I have a period in my life that I was chasing after things, that God was no longer first in my position. So when I read that scripture, it's very convicting to me, right? It's very convicting. It's something that we need to always be thinking about, not only for us, but for the young people in our society. This is why we need memorials. This is why we need to remind ourselves. John chapter 21, verse 15. When they had they're in the room, Simon Peter. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. This should about sound very familiar to you. I used that scripture right after the message when I became your pastor. It's very simple, the message here. It's our responsibility to feed the young people in our church. It's your responsibility to feed the young people in your home. It's your responsibility to feed the grandchildren that you have impact upon. It is very important because this should scare you. Because if you're not teaching them this, the world is teaching them something. They're learning something for sure. They can either learn the things of the Lord and learn what's right, or they will learn the things of the world, and then one day you'll be like, I can't believe they left church. And the world will be like, I can't believe they ever came to church. Right? It's something. And this isn't meant to scare you. This isn't meant to be like, oh my gosh, this is the most negative sermon I've ever heard. No, this is not meant. This is just to be looking at exactly what Joshua 4, what God is telling Joshua to do, he's telling us to do. It's important for us to not forget what God's done in our life, and it's very, very, it's hyper important for us not to let the young people in our lives not forget what God is doing in their lives. Take it serious, right? The third and final point here, and that we see here in Joshua 4, is we're talking about obedience, right? One of the things, and I didn't talk much about this, I had it in my notes when we got to that, I didn't talk about it. You talk about faith. Right? Imagine this river is legit out of control. It's raging. Like, you wouldn't go close to that with a 10-foot pole. Joshua comes to the priest and goes, hey, you guys are going first. I mean, the priests are like, whoa, can't we send someone else first? Why do we have to go first? And also, we have to carry this big Ark of the Covenant. Flip to the back of your Bible when you get home, or do it now, whatever you feel like. You'll see, more than likely, your Bible probably has a picture. It's this great big thing that's super heavy. And though it's also a big deal, you don't want to lose this. It's very important to the Israelite people. It's like one of the most important things they have. And they're like, you want us to go first? And you also want us to carry the most important thing we have into this water? Come on, Joshua, let's pump the brakes. Let's have a conversation. Scripture doesn't say that happened. It may not have, right? I know what I would have said. I'd be like, well, I want to be the one, I want to be the last priest then, right? You know, my faith would not have been as strong as theirs. But what we see displayed in Joshua and we see displayed in these priests is we see obedience, right? And so what we have to see in life, if you're taking notes, right? If you're writing anything down, I encourage you to write this down. Write down belief equals, we did a little math problem this morning, belief equals obedience. And so if you believe in God, if you have faith in God, if you believe what is written in these words, if you believe the memorials that God has placed upon your heart, there's only one outcome, and that's obedience, right? If you claim, hear the word there correctly, if you claim to be faithful, but yet your life displays no obedience, John, right, the first John, we've been talking about first John for several weeks, first John would then tell you, there's a real question whether you're saved or not, right? Not only should you don't, and what you should see in obedience is that you shouldn't be forced to be obedient, right? I spent a lot of my time being forced to be obedient by my parents, right? You should do what? You should desire obedience. You should want to do what God's word calls us to do. You should want to gather with God's people. You should want to spend time with God in prayer. You should want to spend God in reading his scripture. It shouldn't be a burden. It should come freely to you, right? And so we see Joshua. He is extremely obedient. The priest, extremely obedient. Don't forget the faith of the Israelite people. And we've seen in scripture, they're not great examples of happy, joyful people. But yet they too walked through the Jordan River, right? Their faith equals obedience. And so church, one of the things I would ask you in your life, and this is a question for you to pray about and to think about in your quiet time with the Lord, does your life display obedience? Does it? I mean, if it doesn't, that's something you should be concerned about. If it does, that's just another memorial that you can set up in your heart that shows obedience. Because I can't speak for anyone in here except maybe me and my kids, right? Obedience doesn't come natural to us, right? What comes natural to us is disobedience. I don't want to be told to sit down. I don't want to be told to do that. I don't want to be told to do this. But once you enter into this right relationship with Christ, not only do you see a transformation in your thoughts and in your heart, it should be a radical transformation. You should look so different. So, yeah, you struggle with obedience as a sinful person, but as you have this transformation in your life and you begin to live in right relationship with Christ, a radical transformation should happen. One of those things being you now desire obedience. And it's a great thing. Now, when I see obedience, you know what I think about? It's God's love. Because when God gives me the guardrails of my life of things not to do, it's not because he's trying to restrict me from doing something. It's because he loves me so much, he's trying to protect me from the pitfalls of life. So I've been very blessed, and I pray the same for you, is that when you see obedience, you see it as a sign of God's love for you. Because we read in that scripture, that's super strong scripture, right? It's Old Testament Deuteronomy. He's bringing the pain right there, right? He says that if you don't do this, the consequences are very dire, right? The pain is coming. God is going to let the world consume you, and he doesn't want that for you. I don't want that for you, and you shouldn't want that for yourselves. You also shouldn't want that for the young people in your life, whether they be your biological children, your grandchildren, young people you work with, young people you're around, anything. It's very important we teach them, because if we're not, I can promise you the world is. I can promise you that, right? I want to leave you with this. This is James. I'm a big fan of James, the Proverbs of the New Testament, right? And he's talking about putting your faith into action. James chapter 1, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Right? And so what James is saying there, and we also see this in Joshua, is that a faith that does not act or work is an empty faith. Right? It's so easy to talk the talk, but guess what? You got to walk the walk as well. Your faith has to be put into action. Right? I'm not joking when I say this. It's not me trying to just be a good leader and try to encourage you. The fact that we have an entire page almost full of opportunities for you to be doers of the word, that's a blessing, right? There's a lot that we get right at Dallas Ford Baptist Church. We get some things wrong too, right? But this is what we get really right, is being doers of the word. Multiple opportunities for you to put that into action, to be obedient to God's will, to do obedient what God has asked you to do. put that into faith, right? Or put that into action. Put your faith into action. So just in closing, three main things we're talking about today. Number one, memorials in your heart to remind you of what God has done for you. Memorials in your life to help remind the next generation what God has done for you. And the fact that if you have faith, if you have true biblical faith, it can only equal one thing, and that's obedience, right? And that's what he requires from us. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth that we see in you. Lord, I thank you for the memorials that as I was preparing for this message and praying about all the memorials that I have in my life, I thank you for those. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities you give us to speak truth into the next generation, to share with them what you've done for us, what your word says you will do for us, and most importantly, what you are currently doing for us. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for the desire that we now have as we've been radically transformed, that we have obedience. That is a desire that we have. It is no longer a struggle, but that we want to be obedient to you. Not because we fear you, which we do. We do fear your wrath, but because we love you. And we see it as a way that you display your love to us by calling us to obedience to your word. Lord, I thank you for all of these things. In your name we pray. Amen.
God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy.
Thank you all so much for being here this morning. What a joy and pleasure it is to be in the house of the Lord. I used to share this with people that I used to work with, and I no longer work there, but they often struggled. They would see how excited I would be on Friday because I knew Sunday was coming. And they'd be like, man, are you that excited about church? And I was like, yeah, man, I'm that excited about church, right? I love you all. I love being here with you. I love doing this with one another. And I pray that for everyone. I pray that we understand that this is one of the things that we are obedient in, is that we should have a desire to be with one another, right? Very good. Joshua, will you close us in prayer, please? Thank you.